say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. I'm in awe of why you do, why you do, why you do. I'm in awe of you.
This is Corey from Bible Baptist Church in West Union, Ohio. You're listening to Here's Hope with Pastor Tim Carter. Let's listen to the message.
Luke 16, chapter 16, verse number 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man. There was a certain rich man, which had a steward. And the same was accused of him, the steward, that he had wasted his, or the rich man, the master's, goods. And he, the rich man, called unto the steward and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? He's like, what's up with this? How is it that I hear that you have not been faithful with my money, with my resources that I have? And he says, give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer a steward. His job's on the line. His stewardship is hanging in the balance. And the rich man had a steward. A steward is one who's responsible for managing the affairs of, or property or assets or finances, whatever you want to call it, of someone else. And the steward, it's a picture, really, of God and us. That we're put here in this world and we are required to be faithful with what God has given us. And how we know that is because it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. And God's going to bring all of us into judgment, and we are going to give an account of what we did with what we had. The time, the abilities, the gifts that He's given us, the talents, with the finances that we have, and we are going to give an account. And so in verse number 2, it says, he called him and he said, how is it that I hear this of thee? And give an account of thy stewardship, because you're probably going to get put out. And verse number 3, then the steward said, now you got your Bible there? Verse number 3, then the steward said out loud. Is that what he said? Is that what it says? Doesn't say that, does it? What did he say? Well, within himself, he's standing there before the rich man. And he knows he is, in a sense, dead in the water. He knows when it comes out, how he's been, what he has done, how he has mismanaged the resources of the rich man, he knows that he is going to get kicked out of the stewardship. He knows, and that's the way we are too. That's a picture of us, that if people really knew what we were like, if people knew when the door was closed, not just what you do in public, we're pretty trained creatures here in America. The Bible says every man walks in a vain show. We all have our public face to one degree or another. And truth is a lot of times who we are in public is not really who we are at home. And the things that we say and the number of times that we've taken God's name in vain and the hatred sometimes that we have in our heart, even though we cover it up with sweet words, but we can kiss a person on the cheek and stab them in the back at the same time. We tell them how much we love them, but secretly we hate their guts and can't stand them. And all the times that we have lied and cheated and manipulated and connived and undermined people. All the times we haven't put God first and haven't given Him His day as He demands. All those times that we dishonored our father and our mother. And sometimes I get that some of our parents were not very honorable when we were kids. All the times that we stole what really belongs to God. And when that all comes out, and one day when God brings every one of us into account, one by one, and it's all laid out on the table, the truth, not our side of the story, but the whole thing, when it's all laid out there and it's all brought to the surface, a man or a woman, if they're honest, and if you would be honest, you would admit that you don't deserve to go to heaven. Now, in this chapter, he says, in his heart, he thinks within himself, and he thinks, what shall I do? Well, now what? And furthermore, for my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship, and I cannot dig, because he's lazy, or he had a physical disorder. Probably he was lazy. And to beg, I am ashamed, because he had a pride problem. And verse number 4, I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, sit down quickly, and write 50. So he's showing some grace. If you sit down, we can settle this debt out today for 50. And what he's doing is he's showing some grace, and he's making a friend here, because he knows when he gets kicked out of the stewardship, he better have another option. And so in this same set of verses, verse number 7, then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. That means 80. He gives him a discount also. And he's making friends because he realizes that his stewardship is going to be over. And when he has to really give an account, when he gets kicked out of the stewardship, he needs another plan. Verse number 8. And the Lord commended the unjust steward. Now we realize this is a parable. We get that. And we realize that that we need to make sure that we just get the truth that is there and we don't add to it or come to a wrong conclusion. Because this guy was still an unjust steward. But the Lord commended him, not because he had taken advantage and he had been a poor steward of the rich man's resources, but he commended him on the fact that when he realized, hey, I'm about to be put out, I'm going to have another plan here. He, at least as a worldly businessman, and the picture that has some spiritual application is of a worldly businessman that's like, man, I better, when plan A is over, there better be a plan B on the table. Otherwise, I'm not going to have any place else to go. And he was commended because he had done wisely. Why? To not just go, well, I'm out, and so that's it, and it's all over, and I'm done. But he commended him on his resourcefulness to go, I need to figure out another plan. And that's what he was commended for. See, there are some people in this world, when they stop for long enough to actually think about life and God and the future, when you stop long enough from the noise of the world and you really settle to think about what is ahead. Now, you don't have to even know the Bible that much. In fact, all over the world, the Bible teaches us this very simple principle, that the law of God is written in our heart. And so it doesn't matter whether you're in America or Africa or in the Philippines or whether you are in Saudi Arabia. The truth is that every one of us have, in a sense, hardwired into us the law of God to know what is right and to know what is wrong. And the Bible says that sin is when he who knows to do good and he doesn't do it, the Bible says to him, it's sin. Even if you don't know about Jesus, even if you've never been in a church all your life, there's something in us to know that there are things that when we do those things, they are absolutely wrong. And when we did those things, we are wrong to do them. And you can't tell me any different than that, because I already know, I've been around this world long enough to know that even the most hardened criminals know there is a right and they know there is a wrong. And when we deliberately violate what we know in our heart to be right, that is an issue that God is going to bring up. And so you can't say, well, nobody told me about Jesus and I've never been to church, so I don't know about all that stuff. You know there is a right and you know that there is a wrong. And you were convicted about it and you chose to do the wrong thing anyway. And that has happened multiple, multiple times in our life. Now, in this verse, it says, verse 8, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation, they're wiser than the children of light. And there are many times that that the worldly people, in worldly interest, they're wiser than we are as Christians about and making sure that they're working hard and figuring out what the best way to manage resources and the best plan is to try to accomplish what they're after. And we're to be wise in God's service about how to get God's work done in the most effective and in the best way. But he says in verse number 10, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. So don't say that, I know that I wasn't faithful with that $10 bill, but if I had a million, I'd be faithful with it. Because God's like, if you aren't faithful with a $10 bill, you will never be faithful with a million. Verse number 11, if therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon or money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? That's spiritual things. Verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? For no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. That's the way these Pharisees were. It was a group of religious leaders that were there that day. We get the fact that just because somebody's a preacher or an evangelist or a missionary or whatever, just because you have the name and just because you have the title or the position, that doesn't mean that you're an awesome person. The truth is, there's a lot of very corrupt religious leaders in our day. These men that were the Pharisees in that day were corrupt. They weren't really about God's stuff. That was just the way that they made a paycheck. What they really were about was about money. They would devour, Jesus said, woe unto you, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses. And for a pretense, in other words, to cover it up, and you to pretend that you were spiritual, you would make long prayers, but really what you were after was that little old widow lady whose husband passed away. You were after her money. See, and this is the thing about God, is He knows our hearts. He don't have to guess. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord, He's got it all figured out. He already knows what you're like, and He already knows what I'm like. And He knows if I'm just up here making a fair show today, or if He knows that I'm really a man that is about the Lord's business. Now, those guys were there. And when Jesus says you can't serve two masters, and when He says if you're not faithful in a little, how will you be trusted with the true riches? And if you're unfaithful in a little, you'll be unfaithful in much. And He's looking at these guys, these religious leaders, and they're getting madder by the minute. And when they get a chance to speak, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, when they heard all these things. Now listen, and here's the thing. Truth is truth in America. Truth is truth in Africa. Truth is truth in Europe. Truth is truth wherever you go. And when you deliver truth that people don't like, when they can't come back with a good answer, their normal response is, I'm going to make fun of you and I'll belittle you because they don't have a good logical explanation or a way to come back at you to show that they were in the right, because they were in the wrong. And these guys knew that they were in the wrong. And they knew that when He's talking about that unjust steward, He knew that they were talking about them. And so they come back at Him with what the Bible uses the term, they derided Him. To deride means to mock. It means to ridicule. It means to laugh at in contempt. And they're laughing at Him, and they're making fun. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, took on a human body. He gave them life. He gave them breath. And He's shortly about to die on the cross so that they have the opportunity to be saved. And the best thing that they can offer up to Him is to make fun of Him and laugh at Him and mock Him because He called them out on the carpet for their wrong behavior. These guys were covetous men. They were out for themselves. They weren't out for God. They weren't out for the benefit of other people. These guys were scammers. And how in the world they ended up in the ministry. But you wonder today sometimes, don't you? When you watch TV and when you hear some of the stuff, you're like, how in the world did that guy? Well, it happened in another day too. Verse 15. Jesus has a response for them. When they're laughing and they're making fun of Him and they're ridiculing Him, He said unto them, you are they which justify yourselves before men. See, you guys, like, your guys' issue is this. You're going to act like you're right, And you're going to act like you're so holy, and you're going to act like you're so awesome and so good. But the truth is, but God knows your what? But God knows your heart. And you can have all of your little game that you play and your cover up, and you can dress the right way and you can walk the right way and you can say the right things. But when it comes right down to it, God knows your heart. And you can justify yourself before men. In fact, he says, for those things that are highly esteemed among men, now listen closely, are what to God? What's the Bible say?
Abomination.
See, there are things that are highly esteemed among men here. Money. Money is highly esteemed. And if I can make enough money, if I was a somebody, if I could have the right position, if I had the right power, if I just had enough money, look at those people. Look at how much money they have. Those people are, they are the ones. And many of them have very successful businesses. And many of them are on TV. And many of them own the companies sometimes that are in our communities or in our neighborhoods. But the truth is that many folks that are like that are driven by money instead of a relationship with God. And you can, and the world can think you are so awesome. But God knows your heart. You know, in America, we love freedom. We love freedom to the point, and look where we are here in America. We love freedom of choice. We don't want anybody telling us what to do. I'll do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. I'll live my life however I want to live it. And God, furthermore, you ain't going to tell me how to live my life. And God's like, all right. But I will control where you spend eternity. And one day, with that attitude of I'll live my life how I want, I'll do what I want, when I want, and you aren't going to do anything about it, God, God's like, I did give you a free will. Right. But it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Yeah. And when it's all laid on the table, that your bad attitude that you had toward God and His laws and His rules, and when it all comes out, what was really in your heart, you're sunk. Pride is a big one in our country. When I was younger, I was filled up with pride. It's embarrassing looking back and thinking about how I was as a teenager, especially before I got saved. And even today, I'm a proud man striving to be humble. And what is highly esteemed among men is abomination to the Lord. And we walk around here like a bunch of proud peacocks. I'll do what I want, when I want, how I want, and you ain't going to boss me around. And I'll do what I want with whoever I want, when I want, because you ain't the boss of me. And I used to be that way until I was 16 years old and I realized I'm in trouble. I'm going to die and stand before God, and I have lied and cheated and lusted and taking God's name in vain, and I'm going to have to stand before God, and I am in serious trouble. In fact, if I were honest ahead of time, I would have to admit that I am going to get put out of the stewardship. Now, what the unjust steward was commended for, and it really is a picture of us, that before he got put out of the stewardship, he realized, I better find another plan. And when you realize that you are sunk, and that if you died, you deserve to go to hell. See, because nobody ever gets saved before they first realize they're a sinner, and before they also first realize they have something to be saved from their sins. And then you start going, okay, like W.C. Fields. It's an interesting story about W.C. Fields. He's a very well-known person in our American culture. They tell the story about W.C. Fields on his deathbed. He was laying there in the hospital bed, and one of his friends came in and said, W.C., what are you doing reading the Bible? Because W.C. Fields was a very well known that he was not interested in God. But on his deathbed, some friend caught him reading the Bible. And they said, W.C., what are you doing? And he said this, I am looking for a loophole. Now, there is no loophole. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And he also said that no man could come unto the Father but by him. Now, if you look at this text, Jesus said in verse number 15, you are they which justify yourselves, therefore, before men, but God knows your heart. For that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Now look at the book of Romans, chapter number 10, for just a moment. On over to the right. The book of Romans. Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire for Israel is that they would be saved. He's like, what I really want, what do you want? This morning we had some guys that came in early and prayed with me. And very simply I did this because they're wondering what we're going to pray about. I said, I want you to make a list of 21 things that you would like to pray about that you would believe that it would be God's will to accomplish. And I want you to name those things. I want you to write those down. And we're going to take turns praying here. And we're going to ask God for those things. Paul said, if for Israel, the one thing that I would want for Israel is that I want to see the Jewish people get saved. But in verse number 2, he admits, he said, for I bear record of them that they have a zeal of God. They're fired up. Listen, they're still fired up today. The Jews are still fired up, zealous. You ever watch the TV and you see the Wailing Wall when they're down there and they're praying and they're putting their prayer requests in the cracks of the wall and believing that God will hear them, and they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. And when people really don't know, just like I didn't know when I was a kid, and I don't blame the Presbyterian Church that I was lost as long as I was. I could have opened up the Bible and read it a whole lot younger than I did. And that's what really got a hold of my heart. I started hearing some preaching about being saved, and I opened up the Bible for myself. I began to come under deep conviction. But when you don't know how God provided for you to be able to get to heaven, the normal pattern is that you try to come up with your own way to get there. I'm a good person. I'll live a good life. I'll be a good guy. I'll get baptized. I'll take communion. I'll join this church. Now, there was a price paid for you to be able to gain access into heaven, but it's not paid by a dollar bill. It was paid by the sacrifice of the life, the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. That when God knew that you could never live a good enough life to get there, and when he knew that there was no other way other than through him, he sent his only begotten Son, comes out of heaven, and God takes on a human body. He lives a perfect life. He never sinned one time. And he died on a cross about 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross, and he gave up his life as a substitute for you and for me. The just dying for the unjust. We are the unjust stewards who, when everything is laid out on the table, we are going to be kicked out of the stewardship and we're not going to make it to heaven. And we are the ones that, if we have some wisdom about us at all, that we start going, well, now, wait a minute. If I'm not good enough to get to heaven on my own, I better figure out God's plan. And God said, I got a plan. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He has given a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. But that's the plan, that God loved you so much that he didn't want to leave you no option of being able to get there, so much so that he loved you and me, that he came out of heaven himself, his only begotten Son, to die on a cross and to suffer. And they spit in his face and they plucked his beard and they jammed a crown of thorns on his head and they pierced his hands and feet and they jammed a spear in his side. And he gave up the ghost. And they took his body and they put it in a grave. They put God in a grave. And he had said before, they said, show us a sign that you are really the Messiah, the Christ. And Jesus said, no sign shall be given except this. As Jonah was 3 days, 3 nights in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man will be 3 days in earth. And then he's coming out. Right. Now we can sit around here and we can act like that people didn't understand what was going on, but they knew what was going on. And that's why the Jews, after they buried Jesus' body in the grave, they went to the Roman government and they said, "Now wait a minute, this deceiver, he said he's coming out of there." So we're just asking, there are 3 days that you'd put some military forces out there at the entrance of his tomb, because that would be bad if he comes out of there. And as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week. Now see, here's the thing. You want to know if the Christian faith is real? Disprove the resurrection. Right. Disprove the fact, and there are atheists and God haters or God deniers that have studied this thing out, and here's what they found. That resurrection really happened. You know, when you come to the fact that there was a guy that they killed and they put his body in the ground, and 3 days later, he comes up out of that and was seen by over 500 people after his resurrection, you got something you got to deal with. Do you know anybody else that died and for 3 days, and you can get online and you can look at how long people maybe died and the longest one. Here's what I tell you. Nobody comes anywhere close to 3 days.
That's right.
And you can try to explain it away any way you want. But the truth is, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, something happened. And that only begotten Son of God comes out of that tomb.
Amen.
And he changed the world. And every time you write the date or every time you look at a calendar, you're looking back to when the Christ was here. You can deny that. You can fuss about it. You can argue. And all you're doing is you're like the unjust steward that wants to stand and argue with the rich man about whether he is a just. Listen, the unjust steward, he didn't argue. You know why? He knew. And if you are arrogant enough to argue with the fact that you're a sinner and that you need a Savior, you are going to have an aggravated condemnation. And you can walk around this world and prance around here like you're the hottest stuff in the world, but God knows your heart. And you can look at me and you can go, "Well, who do you think you are?" I'm going to tell you who I am. I'm a rotten sinner that was saved by the grace of God. And the only difference between you and me, if you're here and you're not a Christian, is that I was just wise enough to realize what I was. And you're not yet. But you can be. And I'm a sinner, and you're a sinner. And God set up a plan. He sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross to pay the price for you, whether you ever accept it or not, or ever believe it or not.
You've been listening to Here's Hope, a ministry of Bible Baptist Church. Check us out online at hearshope.org. You can contact us by writing to Bible Baptist Church, P.O. Box 487, West Union, Ohio, 45693, or by calling us at 937-544-1818. If you don't already attend another church, we'd love for you to give us a try. Thanks for listening, and we hope you have a great week.
You say I belong to you. Apart from the things I do, you say I belong to you. Amen. Things I do. You say I belong.